Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. I am so glad you're able to join us again today for part two of this interesting look at eschatology and time, last days, what we know as going to happen in the future and even in the present, based on the Word of God. Because the amazing thing is that God had prophesied, God had men like Daniel, men like David, men like Jeremiah, Isaiah, many of these men, Old Testament prophets, wrote about coming in end time days. And even in the New Testament, we know that John wrote the book of Revelation, and in it we find a lot of things that will happen in last days. Jesus often spoke about eschatology, or last days, or end times, or events that will transpire in the last days, and we covered some of that yesterday. But before we get into some excessive dispensation or some popular obsession with end times, that's what excessive dispensation is, or some eschatophobia, that is where it's completely ignored or not talked about at all. So you can have two extremes, but there should be a balance. But before we get into that, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, praise you, glorify you, magnify you for this day. God, I just praise that, Lord, you would just fill your servant today with your Spirit. And that, Father, as we look at end times and last days and continue to discuss the fulfillment of prophecy in our day, Lord, help us to be prepared to share the gospel, the good news, with those who need to hear it, because there are perilous times that we're living in now, but even the great tribulation, or the tribulation that awaits those who reject Christ, Lord, there will be much destruction. But the reason why you have given us this eschatology, you have given us your word, is so that, Lord, we can be prepared, Lord, for your coming, and that, Lord, we can be diligent about preaching the gospel. So I pray, Father, that give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had mentioned briefly there about excessive dispensationalism, and which is individuals who seek to identify current events with Bible prophecy. And so there are a lot of people who do that, men like Jack Zernepi, men like Ed Henson. You know, these guys, they take what is going on in the world, Hal Lindsey, late great Planet Earth, where they take what is transpiring in our society, in our world, what's going on with Israel, what's going on with wars and rumors of wars, et cetera, and they look for fulfillment in everyday events. So what's going on in the world and how that applies to Scripture. And if that is fulfillment of Scripture, that just tells us that Jesus Christ is closer now than ever. And I believe what we see going on in our world today is evidence that Jesus Christ is close. His return is close. The rapture of the church is close. And I'm not going to get into the rapture today, because many of you are familiar with the rapture of the church, and I talked about it in one of our previous episodes. You can always go into the archives and take a look at it. But what I want to cover today is not just excessive dispensationalism, but also there is another trend that's called escaphobia, and that is where people are afraid or they neglect the theme of eschatology or prophecy. You know, the interesting thing is that 25% of the Bible is end times, is eschatology. It talks about last days and what we can expect to come. And so if you ignore that, because you can't just focus on it all the time, which is not good, but also you can completely ignore it, which is even worse, because God gave it to us for a reason, and that is for us to be prepared. Now, he wouldn't have had men like John and Daniel and others write about last days and his times if it wasn't important. One of the things that many people you often hear today, especially with our current administration, is Obama the Antichrist? Is President Obama the Antichrist? Well, you know, the thing is that we won't know who the Antichrist is. Believers, true Christians will not know who the Antichrist is, because according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, church will be raptured, and this is the order of events according to Scripture, before the Antichrist is revealed. The church will be snatched away, and then the man or the son of perdition will be revealed. So we won't know who the Antichrist is, and the danger of trying to speculate is because many have said in times past that Hitler was the Antichrist. Now, he was a type of the Antichrist. He was a type of Antioch of Epiphanes, where we know that in the Old Testament that this man was a type of Antichrist, and he did many of the things the Antichrist would do. And Hitler did many of the things the Antichrist would do. He came out of nowhere. He was a charismatic speaker. He memorized people. He was empowered by states and demonic controls. We know that he had his hatred towards the Jews. And the list goes on and on. But, and you know, the interesting thing is I can understand why people were saying that. Because he was, you know, from Europe. And, but we know now that he was not the Antichrist. He was not the one that the Bible speaks of. He was just a type. And many said, like you factor in his name, it came up 666. The same thing with Kennedy, John Kennedy. Many said that he was the Antichrist. And we know that even the head wound he suffered was fatal. He didn't resurrect from the dead, even though some expected him to. But we know, and what we're about to look at now, is that he will resurrect from the dead. He will suffer a head wound. And the thing is that when you look in the book of Daniel, and we'll just look at Daniel and the book of Revelation, I believe chapter 13, 14, here in Revelation, or I'm sorry, here in Daniel chapter 7, and we'll just cover a couple of verses. If you look in verse 7, and there's a lot of symbolism, but it can be understood with comparing Scripture with Scripture. And that's one of the dangers today, is that many people take Scripture out of context, but it can be understood and it can be made sense of. And if you look at verse 7, it says, I saw him come beside the ram, and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered his two horns, and the ram had no strength to withstand him. So he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram from his power. And then the male goat manifested himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the beautiful land. Now, these horns are just talking about rulers, and the little horn is talking about the Antichrist. And this is confirmed in the book of Revelation, which we'll get there shortly. But when it mentions he came out of nowhere, we're talking about this charismatic leader we're talking about, and we're going to look at, he's a charismatic leader. He'll be a cunning leader. And the verses that we read, that he's going to be a very cunning leader, that he's not going to rule by evil or excessive power right away, but he's going to be diplomatic in his approach. And we know that when we look at this world leader, he subdues these other kings, and what it means by plucking them out by their roots, this individual will squeeze out the old to make room for the new, and he will make three kingdoms. And one by one, not by war, but by political manipulation, this particular ruler, the Antichrist, will come into power to the point where eventually, because he's a political genius, he's a masterful diplomat, he's a clever leader, he will eventually move into the position where he is the world leader. Now, much of this information is coming out of David Jeremiah's book that I've been reading called What in the World is Going On, and it's discussing the 10 prophetic clues regarding end times, and we looked at yesterday, we're talking about the crude oil, and I think I mentioned the world ruler, I mentioned the rapture, and a couple other things, but we won't have time to cover all that. But we're talking about this guy, he's going to be a cunning leader. Verses 7 and 8 that I read, he's going to be a charismatic leader, very similar to Hitler. Hitler was very charismatic. And we see that he was he took control. To the point where people were in a trance, and the point where people worshiped Hitler. And he's got a charismatic personality. He had an enhanced speaking ability. Like I mentioned, people were mesmerized. People were spellbound with his words. And, you know, we kind of saw that even in President Obama's first election, 2008, where he came out of nowhere. And I would say he's kind of like a type of Christ, but he has similar disdain for the Jews. But he came out of nowhere. He, at first, was mesmerizing the people and his speeches and his promises and the change emphasis. So we see a lot of similarities, and we see, out of anything, we see how gullible people are. And I think there's one thing that we see consistently is that people are gullible because they don't know the truth. And that's why eschatology or prophecy is important in evangelism. If you're able to, if you know biblical scripture enough, if you know the Bible well enough, that you can share what the Bible says, and as we're reading here in the book of Daniel, he's revealing to us what will take place or what will transpire. In verse 10, it says, "And it grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the hosts of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down." So here we know that, you know, Satan had many angels who fell and became demons and followed him. And in verse 11, it even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. And on account of transgressions, the host will be given over to the horn, along with the regular sacrifice, and will fling truth to the ground, and perform its will and prosper. And then he says, "Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the particular one who was speaking, 'How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply, while the transgression causes horror, so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled?'" So this is kind of getting into his desecration, how eventually this charismatic leader, this cunning leader, he will be a cruel leader. And the more detail on that is kind of found in chapter 7, verse 25, which says, "And he will seek out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in the law, and they will be given into his hand for times and times of 3.5 years. times and time and a half times. But the court will sit forth judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. So, actually, some of those verses I read earlier, they kind of, they still pertain to him, but the horn, and in more detail, is back in chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. I read some verses out of chapter 8. But the fact is that this is all dealing with the Antichrist, and the verses I just read that talk about him being a very cruel leader, and he's going to devour the entire world. We know eventually the Antichrist is going to pour out his wrath on those who will go through the tribulation period, the Christians. But more importantly is that he's going to pour out his wrath on the Jews during that time. So Hitler murdered and massacred 6 million plus Jews and Gypsies and African Americans and the lame and the old and elderly. So he killed millions upon millions of people. But this individual will target Jews and Christians. And the word that we read means, and we read in verse 25, means that he's going to wear them out. This describes wearing out a garment. So the word is used, he's talking about a slow, painful wearing down of people. The people of God were at the point where it's going to be torturous, cruel, painful. Just like Nero wore out the Christians and Hitler wore out Jews, the Antichrist will do the same thing. He's going to be a cruel leader. We know that he's going to be politically motivated. He's going to emerge from the Gentile nation. According to Scripture, when he talks about coming out of sea, and let me find that verse here, that he's going to come out among the regular people. So he's going to not be a Jew, but he will be a Gentile. And the thing about him is that he's going to go on and he's going to seek blasphemy. And I mentioned 2 Thessalonians, and I also read verse 25 of chapter 7, is that he's going to speak blasphemy. He's going to exalt himself to be God and to be worshipped as the Creator. And remember in Revelation chapter, let me turn there real quick, Revelation chapter 13, is that he's going to require and it says in Revelation chapter 13, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in the present, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. This is the, he's going to have a false prophet, whose fatal wound was healed. So we see the emphasis again is on worship. So Satan's always desired worship. We see that in the book of Ezekiel, Isaiah, that Satan's fall was based on the fact that he desired worship, and caused him to be cast out of heaven. He exalted and wanted to be exalted as God, and he's going to receive the worship as God. And it says that, and he performed great signs so that he even makes fire come down of heaven to the earth in the presence of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he has given to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and have come to life. So he suffers a head wound, and like Christ resurrected from the dead, the Antichrist, who is a false, it's actually the word anti against Christ, but he emulates God in every way. And here's another example of him emulating Jesus Christ. So he has a false resurrection, and it says that he's been given the beast, that the image of the beast might be speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So those who do not worship the beast, those who do not bow down and worship him, those who do not take the beast, the mark of the beast, and worship his image, will be put to death. Will be, and we talked about earlier about how the Jews and how the Christians in time passed, by Nero, by Hitler, were worn out. Well, here's an example that those who do not take the mark will be martyred, will be beheaded, will be worn out. And so he will enter into the temple that will be built, and he will speak blasphemy. He will speak words that dishonor God, and that according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, and it says, "And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw the beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads." And the sea, again, is humanity. "And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like those of a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him," meaning Satan, "gave him power, and his throne with great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed." So there's the head wound again, and the false resurrection. "And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast." Again, I mentioned earlier about people being gullible and people being easily manipulated, and will follow. The masses will follow. The media manipulates people. Charismatic speakers manipulate people. And so we know, again, here the Antichrist will be charismatic, speak blasphemous words. Verse 4, "And they worship the dragon, because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who was able to wage war with Satan?" Find this man perdition. Son of perdition. And this man, and I did mention earlier about him, because I used the word Antichrist, John the Apostle mentions and describes him 4 times as the Antichrist. And this is a person who is against Christ. Anti, meaning instead of, could also be not just against, but also could mean instead of. So he's known as the Antichrist, he's known as the Prince who is to come, Daniel 9:26. He's known as the fierce king, he's known as the master of intrigue, he's known as the despicable man, the worthless shepherd, the one who brings destruction, the lawless one, the evil one, and as I just read, he's known as the beast. And so these names just describe his nature. We know that names of Christ, Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the first, the last. We know that Jesus, the Word, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Resurrection, and the Life. He's not only the Word, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. He's the Resurrection and the Life. You know, many of his names, the Bread of Life, the Living Water, describes his nature. So does the Bible describe the nature of the Antichrist. And so we see that this just reveals that his demonic possession, he's going to be controlled by Satan. So not only will he be a cruel leader, not only will he emerge from the Gentile nation, I mentioned his blasphemy, but he will also have an intimidating presence. Revelation 13, we just read verse 2, that he is going to not only control the world, but the 4 major kingdoms depicted by Daniel, and also mentioned here in the book of Revelation, he's going to destroy these leaders. Could be assassination attempts in order to gain control of their countries, but he's going to be an intimidating leader. I don't know, out of fear, people will worship him because of his demonic power, but he's going to have an intimidating presence, as mentioned here. And so we know that this man could be alive today, because we have things going on in our world today that would point to the fact that he is alive, and he could be positioning himself for the power that is mentioned of him being a one-world ruler. And continue to read here in Revelation 13, that he's going to force the world, and those who are in the world, to take the mark. And those who take the mark will be able to barter, trade, to buy, and to sell. But eventually, this will lead to their eternal death. because of the fact that they bore allegiance to the beast. Because when you worship this man, you are in fact worshiping Satan. He is just behind the worship. He is the one who desires the worship, and he uses idols, uses rock bands, he uses positions, he uses cars, money, whatever it is that people worship today, they are in fact worshiping Satan. And in this case, it's not no different. That in fact, the bowing down and the worship of the beast is stealing their allegiance and saying that they are willing to follow Satan. And we see many people today do that. As I mentioned yesterday, many of the men and women who have fame, fortune, wealth, and power, prestige, in order to get that, they swear allegiance to Baphomet or Baal or Dagon or any of the false gods. And they and as a result, Satan temporarily gives them power, prestige, wealth. We see that in Matthew chapter 4 because he is the prince of the air. He has been given authority in this world, and he offers that power, prestige, and wealth to Jesus Christ. But how did he resist it? He resisted him with the word of God. And that is why it's important that as we share the gospel and as we tell others about Jesus Christ, we are to use the word of God. Because the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Jesus submitted unto God, resisted the devil by quoting Deuteronomy, quoting scripture. And because of his submission to the Father, and as we're submission submitted to the Father, we have the same ability to resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we see, and just, I didn't have time today to get into discussion regarding not just the Antichrist, and we talked yesterday about some of the prophecies in the Bible about the oil being found, or we talk about the revived Roman Empire, didn't get a chance to get to that, or we didn't get a chance to get to the rapture of the church or America's role. These are some of the chapters that are in Dr. Jeremiah's book. I encourage you to purchase it or just to, as a help, not to substitute Bible reading and Bible study, but just to get a gist on your perspective. So we're living in last days. We're living in it. Obama is not the Antichrist. He is a type. But the one world ruler will come, and he will be revealed as according to Scripture. We do see a lot of blasphemous things that are taking place in our world today. But you know, for believers, they will never know who the Antichrist is. And this is someone come to faith in Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church, and then they will know because he's going to be putting them to death. But for those who are in Christ, those who are in the body of Christ, those who know Jesus Christ right now, will not experience the tribulation period. I preach it, and I believe the scripture clearly teaches that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, will not come under judgment, but will pass death and life. And that's all because of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his willingness to bear our sins. And for those who hear the word and believe in Jesus, trust in him as the Lord and Savior, will be willing to repent of their sins and turn away from them and put their faith in Christ, will receive eternal life. Thank you again for joining me on another episode of Evangelize for Life. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord allow his face to shine upon thee, and may he turn his countenance towards you that you might. Thank you.
never heard.